all these people.
Yes.
You too. Come up. Yeah, thank you. Mark. Andrew, I understand we got to get you out of here as soon as we can, right? Okay. You give them 3 minutes, they take seven. It's always the case. Except for Commissioner Saltzman.
It'll work. Where do you want to work?
Oh, I'll switch with you then. Or move it over. I can
It's the roller. Hmm? The roller works.
You can click it. You know.
Nothing's working at the moment. So, Oh.
You need to go back to the first one.
Yep. We're not getting anything on the laptop.
It's all right. Gives us time to fix the technical
the roller.
Issues.
Okay, thank you.
So can you go ahead and read the title again? I'll move a substitute. Commissioner Fish has a friendly amendment, which we'll make on his behalf, and that'll be the basis of our discussion and consideration. 1108. In a whirlwind of democracy this morning.
Sorry. 1108. Commit contingently to pursue a mutually agreeable joint partnership for the Oregon Sustainability Center with the Oregon University System and direct the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and Portland Development Commission staff to initiate schematic design for this purpose.
I move the substitute, and Commissioner Fisher had a friendly amendment.
Mayor, I have a friendly amendment, which was with Carla. Carla?
Can you please read the friendly amendment?
Amendment is from Commissioner Fish. Be it further resolved that OMF is directed to return to council at a work session within 2 months to provide to the council additional information regarding city space planning and facilities needs, the current and projected cost for the city space for BPS and others, and the impacts of potential moves and or property sales, purchases, or developments on other city bureaus and agencies.
I offer this as a friendly amendment, Mayor.
And accepted. Is there a second for the motion to substitute?
Second.
Do you accept the friendly amendment as the seconder?
Yes.
All right. Please call the vote on the substitute.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
I want to thank the City Council for the polishing that is represented and included in the substitute. I'm going to keep my remarks very short because we're behind time, and Congressman Wu said it better, frankly, than I could. But I do want to give a little bit of background. For some, this might seem like a new project that's relatively new on the landscape, and that's definitely true in terms of sort of media coverage of it, but it actually started about 3 years ago, the thought process about 3 years ago, and it actually started separately in a number of different places, which is really a testament to how radically obvious it is that we would pursue it. Discussions were occurring around the desire to sort of up the quality and of our green and sustainable academic instruction, research and development at PSU and other universities. At the same time, we have some of the nation's best environmental, sustainable, clean technology for and nonprofits and their desire to help be a cornerstone tenant in the most livable building on the planet, sort of acting on their values. And then the conversation as a candidate with Rob, myself, with Rob and members of the sustainability royalty in the city about the need to really not only push the envelope to keep us at the forefront of clean technology, but to do so in a way that brings together this sort of great spirit of do-it-yourself sustainability that has been nurtured by Commissioner Saltzman and the Office of Sustainable Development and elsewhere for decades, but to really bring that together in a more concentrated, effective, and competitive way with what has emerged as the concept for the Sustainability Center. So in fall of 2008, Commissioner Saltzman and I gathered together and convened a series of discussions that led in January of 2009 an RFP soliciting a feasibility study that was put together and led by the Portland Development Commission. That in turn led to selections, a town hall, the first of a number of town halls that were key sponsors of which were the Portland Sustainability Institute, that led to the selection of Gerding Edlin Development with SARA Architects and GBD Architects to work on the concept. In April of 2009, we had a week-long Eco Charrette kickoff that had over 80 people in participation. It included the best local thinking along with inspiration from some of the nation's best thinking in the area of clean technology. In April of 2009, we also had the town hall at Portland State University where over 200 people attended. Again in June, a town hall with over 200 people. And during this entire time, BEST, the Sustainability Institute, PSU, our local partners, we've been lobbying, PDC, we've been lobbying at the federal level. And thanks to our delegation, and I want to add big thanks to Congressman, I still think of it as Commissioner, but because he used to work in the building, Congressman Blumenauer and Congressman Schrader, we got access to some of the top level secretaries in the federal government. And we heard consistently a couple of things. One, well, of course, Portland would be pushing the envelope in this way. And two, you're so far ahead of us, says the federal secretary, that we don't necessarily have a pot of money for you. We're busy giving away money for feasibility, concept studies, and you're ready to begin the actual engineering. So that's where we are today. We are at the point where there's been about 2 years of due diligence on the concept, and to take it any further, we need to move from concept to preliminary engineering. To get to the true sort of doability, feasibility, the cost, the full cost, the full benefits, that's where we are today. But like Congressman Wu said, if there's a city in the world that can push the envelope like this, we're the city, we're the state that can do that, we're the university that can do that, we're the nonprofit community that can do that, and we absolutely have to do that. This is one of the few organic strengths that we have, one of the few organic economic strengths that we have, and shame on us. Shame on us if we let others eclipse us. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Susan Anderson.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor, City Council. Susan Anderson, Director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Today, we have an opportunity to once again show that we can be out in front and to be an international leader promoting sustainable development. The Oregon Sustainability Center is the kind of collaboration that Portland's known for. When I talk with my colleagues in San Francisco, New York, LA, they are all always very envious of us in that we tend to work together with our universities, with other private companies, and with our nonprofits. In developing the center, we've brought together private companies, nonprofits, the city, the Oregon University System, together with private companies like SolarWorld, Intel, and GE, and together with cutting-edge nonprofits who provide professional services throughout the United States, companies like Green Building Services, Earth Advantage, CSG, and also leading nonprofits who have been in Oregon for decades, like the Oregon Environmental Council and Sustainable Northwest. For more than a year, we've all worked together, actually for more than 2 or 3 years now, we've worked together to build this partnership. I want to specifically recognize the Oregon University System for its leadership and for providing support and very significant resources for this project. In particular, I want to thank Jay Kenton, Jim Francisconi, and George Pernsteiner for their leadership. You all know that Portland is a global leader in green building and technology. For example, we have more than 300 LEED certified buildings either completed or underway in the Portland region. Girding, Edelin alone has completed 40 LEED building. That's more than any other developer or construction company in the world. In addition, we have firms like Intel. They are testing new technologies like wireless networks and servers to help control energy costs. Other companies like SolarWorld are hiring hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of employees to build solar PV and push the technology further. The Oregon Sustainability Center brings these many different kinds of technologies and products and services together. It will be the signature project. It will establish Portland as the leader in high-efficiency green building and urban development. This leadership and reputation is at the core of Portland's brand. It's what attracts new industry here. It's what attracts creative talent, new people to move here, and further innovation in the city. The center will create a market for Oregon products and services. What many people don't know about Portland and the region is that we're already home to the largest concentration of clean technology, green building, and renewable energy manufacturing in the United States. The center will be the first commercial building that aims to meet the living building challenge. Regional companies will provide services and materials and products. In fact, part of the living building challenge is that these materials and products must come from the region. It will definitely increase opportunities for small building expansion. And most importantly, this will be a replicable building. It will fit right in the urban landscape. It's not going to be, other buildings have tried this, and those are small facilities out in the suburbs, out in small towns. What we're trying to do is build this within the urban core. The center will be highly efficient. It will be high performance. It will be beautiful. It will not be space age looking. We need this to be something that's replicable. It needs to be something that we can learn from, that we can copy here in Portland, and again, copy throughout the United States and throughout the world. Finally, the center will help Portland companies develop new products and services for export. This is definitely a growth industry. Private and university partners will work to commercialize new products and services, helping to move the research into the marketplace. And part of the beauty of this building is not just that the partners have come together to build this thing, it's that we will be tenants in the building together. We'll be bumping into each other. We'll be working on projects together. We'll be looking at grant funding, foundation, different kinds of projects together in order to be able to move what are just ideas now really into the marketplace to make them more commonplace. The center will really act as a platform for testing innovative products in the building, and innovative systems, testing those now, but then moving those to make them commercially available and commonplace in the future. So you can tell that I, of course, think this is a great partnership. It will promote sustainability. It will promote a reduced carbon footprint and grow local companies, and that's why the city should be a partner. So we're here today because this group came together, and they believe that the city needs to be in this building. We need to lead by example and invest and be a tenant in the Sustainability Center. The project sponsors and development team have determined the building is both technically and financially feasible. Together, we have secured private, public, and nonprofit partners and tenants, and the next step is schematic design, as the mayor indicated. The design will cost $900,000 and will be equally shared with the Oregon University System and the Portland Development Commission at $450,000 each. Like our other partners, the city needs to make a contingent commitment to OUS for space in the building to cover the state revenue bonds that are already approved for this project. Additionally, we're asking council for the city to share the risk with OUS on space lease to private and nonprofit tenants. They will have long-term leases that they intend to stick to, but in the event that they can't, then together OUS and the city will find new tenants. From my perspective, this is really a small risk. There will be a line of companies who want to get into this building. Just ask EcoTrust, how hard is it for them to get people to be tenants in that building? So I think if we build the building the way it's going to be, there will be no problem if, by chance, someone needs to move out to actually be able to fill in that space. So for a bit of perspective, let me just step back in time just for a second. Last year, we adopted two new plans. It was the Climate Action Plan and the Economic Development Strategy. These two plans go hand in hand. That wasn't always the case. Many of you could remember back 3 or 4 years ago where PDC and the Office of Sustainable Development, we weren't speaking the same language. You know, that has really shifted. And if you look at these two plans, you'll see many of the same objectives and goals in both plans. And I think that's really important. What's happened is that we've designed a roadmap for creating new jobs, but also investing in strategies that will significantly impact and reduce our carbon footprint. Several projects have come out of this joint partnership, already. A few weeks ago, we were here to accept the $20 million from the U.S. Department of Energy to be invested in clean energy works to create local jobs, to save money and reduce carbon emissions. Jointly, we are developing eco-districts to take our green building efforts beyond just the building scale to a district scale. We've worked in partnership with PSU to complete their framework plan to integrate sustainability throughout the campus as a guiding principle for how PSU will develop in the future. And now we are bringing forward the Oregon Sustainability Center, the next generation of high-performance green building. Some next steps that we'll see in the future out of these plans will include a major commercial building retrofit program that goes way beyond Clean Energy Works to focus on the many, many commercial structures in the city and to begin to make changes and improvements in those buildings, and new efforts to promote net zero energy buildings in new construction. The Oregon Sustainability Center is just a logical step in the continuum. Years ago, we started with energy efficiency. We began to look at renewables. We added in green building. And now we're pioneering with the Sustainability Center. You know, 10 years ago, Commissioner Saltzman and I were here at Council, different people behind, sitting in the chairs there. And we asked permission to let me move in the new Office of Sustainable Development into the EcoTrust building. And at that time, EcoTrust was setting the standard. It was the first historic LEED gold building in the country. And then, like now, we thought it was really important for the city to have a presence in one of the greenest buildings in the United States, and we found that it really paid off. Although the initial rent was modestly higher than other buildings at the time, market rates have increased. And today, rent at the EcoTrust building is actually less per square foot than my space in the 1900 building. But that's not the main way that it's paid off. Being in the EcoTrust building has paid off because of huge visibility. Thousands and thousands of people go through that building every year. I've met representatives and have then ended up being partners with many federal agencies and foundations and others who were impressed with the space, with our work. It creates an opportunity to be in a place where they can see and touch and feel what it is we're really talking about. While we were in that space at EcoTrust, we secured several million dollars worth of grant funding from the U.S. Department of Energy, EPA, DEQ, the Climate Trust, the Energy Trust, and others. The building really adds to our credibility, and I see the Oregon Sustainability Center working in the same way. Finally, I believe the new Oregon Sustainability Center will really raise the bar. The center is our opportunity to really distance ourselves from the pack, from others who are trying to do, their first. Many other cities around the country right now, they call me, every week saying, we're going to build our first LEED gold building. You know, we are so far out, as the mayor mentioned, in the pack, that people look to Portland. This is the place they think of, other cities, other planning directors, when they want to know how to move forward in this area. So federal agencies, foundations, and private investors are also looking for our new rising star in this area, and I believe we can be that. This is our opportunity to really have a new home to host visitors from around the world who want to really showcase Portland's brand and see who we are. The center is an opportunity to usher in a new generation of sustainable development. And now Lou is going to go through some of the technical specifics and some of the details of the building.
Mayor, City Councilors, Lou Bowers. I work for PDC. I'm going to go fairly quickly because there's a lot of people who'd like to speak, and many of these points have been made. The building will be technologically innovative. Net zero energy, net zero freshwater, net zero stormwater. There's a number of people that can give you the details better than I, so I'll pass over that one. We've talked about a place where people meet innovation. Here we have an outline of the tentative commitments for the building. 150,000 square foot building. You see that this has included Oregon University System, a large component of PSU office and classrooms. The private and nonprofits include the OLBI space, and then there is the proposed City of Portland space in there, as well as some ground floor retail, and also something called the Exhibit Action Center. This is really designed to be the front door for sustainability, and the Exhibit Action Center on the ground floor will be the place we believe the tourists and the people on tours that are calling will go to start their orientation around sustainability in the city of Portland. There's two numbers that I want to make sure are not confusing. Here you will see a square footage of 33,000 for the city of Portland. In the resolution, you'll see a square footage of 24.4. That is simply the difference between net usable square footage, which is in your resolution, and an estimated of gross square footage, which is what the 150,000 represents. The difference is the common area, the hallways, the lobby, the restrooms, the ventilating shafts, et cetera, which are divided among all the tenants. So hopefully that won't be distracting. Next, we've talked about a hub for collaboration. Congressman Wu has updated us. This is now a hub for synergy. There's a number of aspects of this. One is the occupants within the building that Susan talked about. Secondly, there is a very active research agenda for this building that is being led by the OUS Research Council. And David Kenny, I believe, will be speaking to you about that. This is research that will take place on the planning of the building, the construction of the building, and the ongoing operation of the building. So this is an attempt to actualize this concept of a living laboratory and utilize faculty and students in this project. Next, again, a hub for collaboration. The third, which was again mentioned by Susan, is the collaboration between the public and the private sector. These are the logos of many of the groups that are involved in this. The one I wanted to focus on is the relationship between some of the large global corporations we have and this project. We are talking to them about a new generation of public-private partnership. We are, in fact, talking about a net zero building consortium, which is modeled on one that Intel introduced us to in Europe, where private corporations are working with the public sector to create these innovative buildings. I believe you're going to hear from representatives from Intel, GE, SolarWorld, and Girding Edlund, and they can talk to you a little bit more about what this relationship looks like. The schematic design is the essential next step to get details on this collaboration or synergy. Finally, there's been some discussion about jobs. This is fundamentally an economic development project from our point of view, true green job creation. It is estimated that 1,300 jobs will be created through the construction of this building, and those run from pipe fitters to architects to software engineers. Again, Commissioner John Molas and I believe a representative of the trades will be able to talk to you a little bit more about that in their testimony. Competitive advantage has been talked about. The research agenda and the brand Portland, I think Susan covered that, so I'll keep moving. Next, I want to talk about the basic financial pro forma for the project. As you see on the cost side, the base building plus the living building components, we currently estimate to be $69.4 million. In addition, there's $6 million of additional add packages. This includes the exhibit center and the streetcar. These are things we would very much like to do, but they are not essential for the Living Building Challenge. So that's why we've called them an add package. On the sources, you will see the primary sources are Oregon University System bonds, City of Portland bonds, PDC tax increment financing, and then there are a variety of federal and state tax credits which the project should be eligible to receive. For the base building, the 69.4, there is currently a $2.5 million gap, and we have an aggressive program of fundraising and in-kind contributions that we're optimistic will be able to fill that gap.
What do city bonds mean?
The city bonds would mean that the city would bond for the space that the city owns and occupies.
We would pay it off.
And then you would use the rent from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability.
Bond against the rent, so you have the upfront cash to build it, and then you pay it off with the rent over time.
Okay. So it's kind of like a revenue bond. It's backed up by the rent the city is going to pay to back.
That would be correct.
$7 million.
That would be correct. Okay. In terms of the ad package, that would require additional fundraising in order to meet the ad package, the $6 million. Because this is the first triple net zero building of this scale, the consultants tell us that we are going to pay a premium for this prototype. And there's been a fair amount of discussion about what is the premium, and it's as much art as science at this point. But the OSC, cost per square foot, which is a classic measurement, without the land and financing, because those tend to be unique to how the project's structured, is $420 per square foot. That's a number you will actually see in your resolution. Comparable LEED Gold institutional buildings, because we do have institutions here, range about $350 per square foot, again, without land and financing. So that leads to a premium of about 22% for this building above LEED Gold and Platinum. The reason for that premium is we have things like the solar array, which is estimated to cost $5 million. We will have a living machine to help process the stormwater. We will have additional costs because of the red list projects or products that we'll not be able to use. That's what constitutes that premium. Similar to the LEED premium, we believe that will decline over time as we get smarter about how to do it, and as more people get involved, there'll be some economies of scale. But there is going to be a premium, and we'll know much more what that number really is at the end of schematic design. One of the learnings is to understand that premium, be able to really document it very, very carefully.
So if I could just interject, it's this council, again, in partnership with a private nonprofit and public sector, and in partnership with the federal government, our prototype streetcar, our first prototype streetcar, was obviously more expensive than Oregon Ironworks is now able to sell their manufacturing of streetcars. So using ourselves as this sort of multi-partnered living laboratory, being willing to invest in the prototype, in this case as well, local suppliers to build the prototype, hopefully creating and strengthening an existing industry.
Correct. I will also just note that these are low-confidence estimates. These are based on a conceptual design. One of the purposes of schematic design is to get drawings that we can actually get harder costs on. So we will know a lot more at the end of schematic design and have a lot more confidence in these numbers. Let me talk about the City of Portland's investment. The resolution calls for the city to make a contingent commitment to purchase a 33,200, which is the gross square footage, or 24,000, which is the net square footage, condominium interest in the building. So the city would own several floors, most likely, in the building. OUS would own the remainder of the building. OUS has similar commitments from the other occupants in the building. We don't want to go into this as a spec building. We want to go into this with known users, which we have at this point. The box, or the lower part of the screen, shows you the cost to the city of the Oregon Sustainability Center compared with other alternatives. On the left side, you see the alternatives are having the Bureau of Planning Sustainability remain in the 1900 building, or have them moving and leasing comparable Class A office, or have them acquiring comparable Class A office, or the Oregon Sustainability Center. So those are four alternatives for that. The numbers in the middle give you the cost to the city per 10-year increment, and then the numbers on the right side give you a net present value, which is a good way to compare the net cost to the city. So what you see from those numbers is the Oregon Sustainability Center option at the bottom has a net cost of 17.9 to the city. That is not the lowest. Staying in the 1900 building would be lower at 14.8. It is comparable, though, to moving into other Class A office space at $17.2 million, and it is significantly cheaper than leasing other comparable Class A space. So this is based on the numbers we have here, and again, these will be refined and will be clearer after schematic. Finally, Commissioner Salzman, this may be helpful. This is a diagram that attempts to give some clarity to the proposal for OUS and the city to share some of the risk or some of the shared cost within the building. It might be helpful to think of the building as three chunks. On top, you have the square footage that the Oregon University System would actually occupy, approximately 58,000 square feet. They would pay for that with OUS bonds. They would pay for the capital cost. And then the OUS tenants, PSU, OIT, Oregon State, would pay rent, and that's what they would use to pay off that series of debt service. The middle or green piece would be the city, and the city would actually buy a condominium interest, and it would issue city bonds and use TIF to pay for its share. That debt service would be paid for by the city rent, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. There's a third piece, and this is the space in the building which is rented to OLBI or the retail space or some private tenants that we'd like to get in the building, all of which are focused on sustainability.
What is OLBI?
Oregon Living Building Initiative is the group of environmental nonprofits that have been mentioned. That's an organizing term for them. So their space would actually be owned by OUS. The capital costs would be paid for by the OUS bonds. So technically, they are OUS tenants. Again, they would be paying rent, and the retail tenants would be paying rent. to the degree that rent was sufficient to pay off the debt service on that portion of the bonds and pay the operating expense, then the building runs a net positive and it goes into the replacement reserve. That's the model that we're currently working on. However, if that rent is not sufficient to pay the debt service, the rent from that whole blue and red square, then the proposal is that the city and the Oregon University system split any shortfall 50-50. So that's how it's structured. What is the nature of that risk? What does that mean? Well, it means that if we decide to put any speculative space in the building, i.e. space without tenants, that's a risk. That's our decision. Secondly, if any occupant goes out of business or breaks their lease, that would be a risk. Third is we believe there will be some tenants that will be on 10-year leases. So there will be a risk at the end of 10 years that we may or may not be able to re-lease the space at that rent. So that's a re-rent risk. Finally, because it's a new building, operating costs are going to be estimated. And there's a possibility that there will be operating costs beyond what the tenants pay. Lastly, because of the innovative nature of the building, we're going to have some pretty innovative operating systems. And there's always the possibility that there will be a premature failure of a major operating system. And that might cause the building to need to be upgraded sooner than we expect. What is not covered in that share, what is not included in that risk, is OUS's responsibility for its space, the yellow box, or the city's responsibility for its space. It's the third piece where we are sharing the risk with with OUS. Finally, this shows the timeline. And again, before you, there are three actions. Moving forward with schematic design, a $450,000 commitment plan to use tax increment, contingent BPS tenant for ownership of the condo interest, and a contingent cost share commitment with OUS for the non-city or OUS space. This timeline shows the need to have three actions now. It's your action, the OUS board, which is scheduled, and the PDC board, which is also scheduled. That's necessary to start schematic design. The next decision point will be at the end of either the end of December or early January when we have finished schematic. At that point, we will come back to you with refined costs, a design, and a refined financing plan. And there will be a clear decision point on all three parties whether to proceed with actual construction. So that will be the next check-in with you. You have an alternative resolution. I believe the major changes are that it clarifies next steps coming back to the City Council as soon as the schematic is finished. It asks for more details on the analysis of the outcomes of the schematic design, and it also clarifies the role of OMF in that analysis process. With that, I'll conclude.
And if I could beg the Council's indulgence to move right to testimony, we'll have Q&A at the end because we've got people that are on a timeline. Jay Kenton, Andrea Durbin, and Scott Scholl. Jay is with Oregon University System. Andrea Durbin is the Oregon Environmental Council, and Scott Scholl is with Intel. So you're from a couple of different panels, so welcome. Jay.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, members of the Council. For the record, I'm Jay Kenton, Vice Chancellor of the Oregon University System. And I wanted to thank the mayor and others for your leadership on this very important project. I wanted to step back and give you a little history of this from the OUS and State of Oregon perspective. I think the mayor did a good job of summarizing it. But this project originated out of some work that the Portland Higher Ed Subcommittee of the Board of Higher Education did about 3 years ago. And that group was chaired by Jim Francisconi, which, by the way, he sends his regrets. He could not be here. He's on vacation this week. But we recommended, you know, creating both a sustainability center and a research center in sustainability in Oregon, in Portland. The project was approved by the Board of Higher Education at its July 2008 meeting, and it was included in the capital budget request to the governor and the legislature. I had specific conversations with Governor Kulongowski, and he strongly supports this project because, again, it's emblematic of the goals the state has, which are very much aligned with your goals, I believe. And it was included in his request to the 09-11 legislative session and was one of his priorities, I would note. The legislature authorized the project in June 2009, and they approved $80 million of general obligation bonds. And These bonds are specific. They're general obligation bonds, but they function like a revenue bond in that they need a repayment source. But they are backed by the full faith and credit of the state of Oregon. We, $80 million was a placeholder. We had, you know, very high-level concepts at that time, and so that's why the numbers are a little different than what you just heard from Lou. One of our board members, David Yaden, was former director of the Oregon Department of Energy, and when we discussed this with the board, he said, you know, if you want to be a leader, you need to be provocative, and we believe this project is provocative, but it will also put both the city, the state, and the university system in a leadership position, which is something that we are very much desirous of. We believe the project will demonstrate Portland and Oregon's leadership in green building design and in sustainability generally, and it has multiple economic development objectives that you've heard a little bit about, you'll probably hear more about. I'm going to just cut to the chase. We would very much like the city and its Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to be partners in this facility. You heard the proposal from Lou is something that we have participated in the and talked with Ken Rust and other people in your Bureau of Finance about. You know, and this is a unique partnership. I think the mayor did some work early on, and we did research around the world on sustainability centers. There is no other center in the world that has local government collaborating with state government, collaborating with the university system, and the private for-profit and not-for-profit sectors. So I believe this will distinguish Oregon yet again in that notion. We plan to present a similar report to our board on September 10th and seek their authority to move to the next step, which is that conditional commitment, authorization to spend the $450,000 for schematic design that you heard about. I don't anticipate any problems. My board has been briefed on this numerous times and has been very supportive. And so I would close by just thanking you for considering this very important project, and I will stay in the audience in the event there are questions.
Thank you, Jay, and thank you. You have you've omitted your own incredibly positive, passionate role in this project inside the OUS system, along with PSU. But I want to thank you for that, all that you've done.
It's been a pleasure.
Good morning, Mayor, members of the Council. My name is Andrea Durbin. I'm the Executive Director with Oregon Environmental Council. And Oregon Environmental Council has been part of the vision and development of this project from the very beginning. Together with the Earth Advantage Institute, we really set out the challenge to build a living building in Portland. And we assembled the nonprofits that will be tenants in the building under the rubric of the Oregon Living Building Initiative. This project will, you've heard many reasons why there's important reasons to support this project. This project will really help influence and transform the built environment in Oregon nationally and even globally. Building the Oregon Sustainability Center will demonstrate that it is possible to create living net zero buildings, which will have a ripple effect in the marketplace by changing expectations, demonstrating what is possible, and creating a new demand for net zero buildings. Given Oregon's expertise and focus on green building, Portland should be the epicenter of this evolution and revolution in the green building sector. Furthermore, eventually, one day, we will see federal action on climate change to require reductions in greenhouse gas emissions. And the building sector represents nearly half of the emissions, greenhouse gas emissions. So action around creating net zero buildings will be a key strategy for reducing emissions nationally, and there will be an increasing demand as such. Through this project, Oregon has an opportunity to really carve out its leadership space and develop the expertise, talent, and the track record that will be in increasingly demand going forward. One day soon, living buildings will be mainstream like LEED standards are today. I'd also like to comment briefly on the collaborative or synergistic representation of this project. As Jay noted, this is really the only example where we've found, been able to identify where this broad collaboration from the different sectors noted today. It will really create this collaborative hub around sustainability where we work on policy, research, and advocacy changes together, jointly, collaboratively, and really challenge ourselves to achieve more together. There's no question that this is a bold project. It is more expensive than LEED standards because it's the first time it's ever been done. But the fact remains that if we're going to transform our built environment, we need to focus on how to reduce our environmental footprint in the urban community and create net zero communities. The Oregon Sustainability Center will open the door for Oregon to take a giant step in that direction. Appreciate your interest in this project and hope that you will be able to support it today. Thank you for your time.
And thank you and the nonprofit and some for-profit partners as well. And in the OLBI, you know, is going to be a key part of the heart and soul of this building. So thank you. It is great to show off Intel as a company of sustainability. Most people think of chips. And so welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you very much. My name is Scott Scholl from a small company over the hill in Hillsboro, Intel Corporation. But seriously, we're here to voice our support for the goals of the Oregon Sustainability Center. I believe you have a letter on record from Lori Weigel that goes deeper into our intention. But I mainly wanted to just say that we've been collaborating with some of the planners that you've heard from this morning and introduced them to other cities, other entities that are undertaking similar challenges. So even though Lou outlined some of the risks, we think that there are others who Intel can help facilitate conversations with to help manage those risks. And we are viewed, Portland is viewed as a leader in environmental and sustainability goals, policies, you know, the last 30 years of what we've done with how we've looked at land use and planning, what we've done in looking at our how we manage our waste puts us squarely in a position where we can lead in this. Building the Oregon Sustainability Center will not only create a physical structure, but it creates a nexus of innovation, a partnership with the university system. We think that this can create opportunities for creating new technologies, new services, and not just the technical and science, but the public policy, the financial policy of how net zero buildings can be created. As I alluded to earlier, there are other entities, other cities around the world that are looking at positive energy, but this is unique in that it's not just electricity, it's water, and it's how we manage our waste. And those cities are quite interested in collaborating with Portland to learn what we can about how to manage all three things, whereas they can contribute their knowledge on how to make, in fact, positive energy buildings. I'm speaking of an entity in a suburb of Paris, Moudon and Issy-les-Moulineaux. And so we stand ready to contribute in-kind technology and interaction with our engineers to help make this project a success. Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks for the facilitating our ability to learn everything that's been done in the suburbs of Paris and your work on that. It's been incredibly helpful.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Continuing sort of mixing things up a little bit, Vice President of PSU Lindsay DeRoche, President of Northwest Trades Building Trades Council John Mollis, and John Lurch from General Electric. If you'd please come up and say a few words. Yes, you can. In which case, I will. Is Kim Kuhn from SolarWorld here? All right. Then David Kinney from Oregon Best. Hi, welcome.
Good.
Go ahead, Lindsay.
Shall I start?
Please.
Yes, I'm Lindsay DeRoche from Portland State University. Thank you for taking the time to talk about this one. It's a very exciting project. I want to thank you also for the terrific leadership to get us to this point, Mayor Adams. I appreciate it very much. Warm regards from our president, Dr. Vivelle, who is on a well-deserved vacation for the next 2 weeks. So he sent me. Portland State's role as an urban research university, you know well. Our ethic of engagement in the community, you know well. That's what we are about. We have spent the last 3 years working very closely with the Portland Development Commission and the City Planning Bureau, Sustainability Bureau, on the alignment of your strategic economic development plan with our strategic plan on the campus. Our research activities are approaching $60 million. We're heading to $100 million, and a good deal of that activity is going to be directed toward the kinds of issues that the business clusters in that strategic economic development plan present. Most especially and first on that list is the sustainability and clean energy world. 2 years ago, our campus received a $25 million 10-year grant from the Miller Foundation. And that grant was really a vote of confidence by the Miller Foundation in Portland State, which we were very grateful for, but it also was a specific grant to build the capacity of our faculty and our students in this area of sustainability to make it possible for us to be not just a national but an international leader in research activities and curricular activities around this topical area for the benefit of the entire world, but especially for the benefit of the larger Oregon and Portland community. The intellectual firepower that we will be able to bring to this this setting, if you will, because of that Miller grant and because of some very strategic, excellent investments by the state that David's going to talk about here in a moment, like BEST, is going to be substantial. That firepower will mean that we will be able to convene the kinds of best thinkers from around the world together in that center and to move forward the agenda to bring our technologies to a point to the marketplace in a way that we haven't been able to do before. The Oregon Sustainability Center will be the physical centerpiece for this larger, if you will, agenda that I am talking about. It will be the centerpiece in the university district and in the eco district that we're working on very carefully with the city folks. And it will, in fact, be that famous term, living laboratory. This is where you're going to have the faculty, the staff, students, not-for-profit green leaders, who you heard here from this morning, business leaders who want to get the economy moving in this direction. This is where they will meet and collaborate, and this is a very exciting thing for us all. So I'm going to end quickly because you've heard already from Jay Canton, who was a very major leader in bringing this project to fruition, and I want to thank him for that. But I want to just say again that Portland State loves partnership. We love to make deals, and we love to get projects done, and we are most especially happy to do that with the City of Portland. And so we want to say to you that if we move this forward, we're going to be there to help get it done. I want to thank you again for the vision that brings us to this point.
Thank you, Lindsay. Thanks for all your on-the-ground efforts as well. It's been key.
Thank you.
David, maybe you could go next.
Sure. My name is David Kenny. Good morning, Mayor Adams and City Commissioners. I'm the President and Executive Director of the Oregon Built Environment and Sustainable Technology Center, or Oregon BEST. We're one of six initiatives that the state invested in under the Oregon Innovation Council to help promote innovation and growth in our economy and creating jobs specifically tied to innovation in green building and renewable energy. The Oregon Sustainability Center creates a really unique opportunity for us because of the unique capabilities we have both in industry and in nonprofit and in the university sector to collaborate around the design, engineering, construction, and development to advance the state of the art once again in Oregon. We see opportunities for using this as a test bed for advanced research on building science, energy and water technologies, and behavioral science. This is the living lab that we've been hearing about this morning. It's through these research projects that I'll talk about that we'll see that it manifested. The OSC's role as a research platform currently involves about 40 very enthusiastic researchers from the university's nonprofit and business partners. The group has organized a research agenda, which is about a 31-page document today, that includes 27 topics organized around five research areas. And those areas are net zero energy, water use and rainwater retention, material utilization, waste and life cycle environmental impacts, occupant health and performance, and integrated performance-based design, construction, and operation. Our faculty are already writing grant proposals based around the Oregon Sustainability Center as a research platform. In addition to the obvious jobs created by the actual design and construction of the building, virtually all of the research activities will contribute to catalyzing economic development in a variety of ways. And one of those is really tied back to the services capabilities of Oregon's firms in architecture, engineering, construction, and development. Susan Anderson just mentioned that she gets calls from all over the country from cities asking about our leadership. Those same cities are calling our firms and hiring our architecture, engineering, and development firms to do those projects that they're interested in exploring. So the first gold, LEED Gold building in those places are being designed and built by firms from here because of the expertise that we've developed. The project will also provide a real-world environment and a testing ground for products and materials companies based here, as well as from around the world who are leaders, to test out their materials in an environment where they can study and understand the performance characteristics and have the resources they need to tune the performance, to learn from and perfect capabilities that will allow them to take new products and materials to market, creating new manufacturing opportunities and new jobs. That ranges both, I think, hardware and software technologies, as well as materials from the wood product sector and others. The red list has been mentioned a couple of times. There's a list of prohibited chemicals by the Living Building Challenge requires not be used in the building, and there's a tremendous opportunity for our green chemistry capabilities to help to identify new materials that can be developed to replace very common materials that actually provide hazards to human health. We're also helping to develop an industry-university consortium based around research agenda that will use this project as the first of many, hopefully, test bed projects around the state to learn and test out new products and services and materials. So I'll just close by saying that our organization has invested significant time, effort, and financial resources to this project because we believe it will provide a platform for us to advance our economic and job creation goals in a very tangible way. And we support the recommendation today to move this project forward. Thanks.
Thank you very much. John Lurch, General Electric, welcome.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, members of the council. John Lurch, as Mayor Adams mentioned, GE Corporate. I'm the Western State's lead for sustainable solutions. I've come here to voice my support for the goals of the OSC. As you know, also, we have a record on file on behalf of the company. We recently signed an MOU with the city focused on sustainability and a desire to remain at the forefront of environmental projects and initiatives. The OSC was a key pillar of that MOU. We're interested in engaging the MOU for a variety of different in the OSC for a variety of different reasons. One, it represents another level of green building practice, raising the bar for energy and water use. It also has the potential to showcase and commercialize new technologies. GE does a lot of R&D in this area and has technical expertise in building technologies. We think a lot of that's something we can share on the building. It also serves as a model that could be replicated elsewhere, and I think we're particularly excited about collaborating with some of the local firms and local businesses to realize our shared goals. Lastly, this is consistent with our ideals and our eco-imagination commitments for greenhouse gas reduction, water use reduction, sustainability, and education. We've already been involved on this project a fair amount. We recently had about 10 GE local personnel at the Portland Development Commission, meeting with their staff, meeting with architects, meeting with designers, understanding the project more. We plan to continue to be engaged on that level and exploring ways in which we can help. Moving forward, we look forward to the schematic design and exploring ways to collaborate with the city, universities, local firms, and the community to see through the successful completion of this building. So we encourage you to move this project forward.
And for you, I just want to thank you for it's been very, very useful to have the due diligence that, because of the breadth and scope of GE, the due diligence that you bring to this effort to test out our thinking and our assumptions. And so thank you for that. And this is part of it, of implementing the GE MOU. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. John Molis, Marcy Wickman, and Brian Temple. Thanks for waiting. Welcome, Commissioner. Would you like to begin?
Sure, that'd be great. Okay. Good morning, Mayor Adams, Commissioners. My name is John Molis. I'm the Secretary Treasurer for the Columbia Pacific Building Trades Council, which is an umbrella organization for about 20,000 union construction workers in Northwest Oregon and Southwest Washington. And unfortunately, about 35% of those members are currently unemployed, journeymen and women, and apprentices. I think you know that I'm a bricklayer and stonemason by trade. I worked on a wide variety of projects in the field. Some were block boxes, such as a Walmart or a Target, and they were fine. They all paid the same, but I really enjoyed getting on a brick job, and the fancier the better. Arches, corbels, patterns, you name it, because that really tests your ability as a craftsman. And I know our members will be very happy to go back to work on any project that gets started in this region, but I can guarantee you they'll be tickled to death to get the opportunity to go to work on a project that's such a cutting-edge building as this will be. So I want to thank you all for your support of the project, and now I'd like to introduce Marcy Wickman. She is the Assistant Training Coordinator for Local 290, Plumbers and Fitters, and she can speak in greater detail to the type of training that is provided at our jointly trusteed union training centers. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and council members. My name is Marcy Wickman. I am an assistant training coordinator at Local 290 and a steam fitter myself. I actually went through the five-year apprenticeship program, became a journeyman and a foreman, and then have been working in the training center for the past few years. I would like to illustrate for you just a couple examples of buildings that were built by our members and then talk to you about how we feel about training. Obviously, most recently, the Port of Portland headquarters building with its ground source heating and cooling and the living machine. Our members were there on that job. And then approximately 5 years ago or so, when the OHSU Center for Health and Healing was built on the South Waterfront, in its day, it was the first medical LEED Platinum building and one of the largest, I believe, LEED Platinums in its day. And at that time, only 14 buildings in the world were LEED Platinum, and our members built that then. So we do take great pride and invest in our training, and we have a 93% completion rate in our apprenticeship program. We have approximately 400 apprentices that go through our program at any given time or that are in our program, 4,500 members statewide. We do 50,000 to 60,000 hours of continuing education for our journeyman members and upgrade training. Our United Association, our parent organization, hosts in Ann Arbor, Michigan, every August, upgrade training for our instructors. And so at the end of this week, we'll be sending 53 instructors to Ann Arbor, Michigan to go to college to come back and teach our members. We have 11 training centers in Oregon and Northern California. And our United Association is a member of the U.S. GBC. And many of our members are LEED accredited professionals. And I just want to reiterate that no matter what the emerging technology is, we are ready to meet that demand. Thank you.
You very much. Great statement. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, commissioners, and thank you for this opportunity to testify before you today. My name is Ryan Temple. I am the president of Sustainable Northwest Wood. We are a wholesale distribution yard serving the building industries up and down the West Coast. We are a Portland-based business. It is relevant to note that we're unique among our peers and that we are the only wood distribution yard that is exclusively focused on the trade of local, for us that's Oregon and Washington, local and sustainable wood products. I'm here today to do my best to represent a small business perspective on the Oregon Sustainability Center. We are supportive of this project. When I think about it, I group the assets and benefits of the project into three categories. In ascending order of importance, those categories would be construction, demonstration, and inspiration. We've heard already about the importance of the construction and the opportunities that would create. I think one figure that came across this morning was 1,300 jobs that probably includes all of the, hopefully includes all of the related jobs in the wood products and other manufacturing industries that would be suppliers to this. On the demonstration level, I would group that into two categories. One is replication. This building will be groundbreaking and innovative and can be replicated across the nation and the world. The other side of it would be marketability. Through demonstration, and that would be of the knowledge for techniques, design, manufacturing materials, all that's acquired through this process. The ability to market that knowledge would be a tremendous asset to our community. The final category, and the one which I think is the most important, has to do with inspiration. Sustainability and the sustainability marketplace has become fairly crowded recently. Ultimately, that's a good thing. But for those of us that are early adopters, that creates a challenge. Do we congratulate ourselves for having elevated sustainability to this place? Or do we recognize that this is going to be a key part of our future and reaffirm our position as a leader? For businesses like my own,